Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for joining us here on the show today. Great to have you along for the conversation about farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's show brought to you by Senex. Downtime is a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Senex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Senex.com. Coming up here on the show today, we're going to sit down with the president of the National Corn Growers Association. Harold Woolley will join us in segment three today. We've got a few different topics we want to talk about with Harold, and looking forward to that conversation coming up here after the bottom of the hour. In segment two, sounds like it could be a pretty active weather week ahead. Severe weather potential. Could we be looking at some frost later in the week? DTN meteorologist John Baranek will join us to run through the weather details coming up here on today's program. Let's kick things off, though, and take a look at what is moving in the markets. Dara Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart, joins us here as we kick off AOA today. Darren, thanks so much for being back with us. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Had a nice weekend. I hope the same for you, Jesse.
I had a nice weekend as well. The soothing sounds of the Masters put me to sleep on Sunday afternoon, which is always a good thing. Also, though, I had my eye on a lot of news headlines over the weekend, Darren. Obviously, the escalation of tensions between Israel and Iran, that was a big talking point over the weekend. A lot of uneasiness. Feels like so far the markets to start this week a little bit muted to that respect. But what's your thoughts on the rising geopolitical risk in the Middle East and the impact it is or could have on the markets?
I think it's well calculated. And, you know, I think it goes back to, as you pointed to, the geopolitics. You know, not only the election, the upcoming election here in the United States, but other key Western countries as well. And so what we're looking at is a system of destabilizing. It's been attempted in the grain industry, and you know the world wheat supply and demand was reshuffled, and really didn't cause a big Russia's invasion and continued siege of Ukraine hasn't really caused much of a fluctuation in global supply and demand for wheat because it can be grown around the world. So we've also seen things ramp up. So you got food and energy. So the other side is ramping things up in the Middle East with some allies of Russia trying to stir things up in the Middle East, try to get some life pumped into some distortions pumped into or changed in the energy complex. And as you said, initially it looked like it was going to be an explosive open to the Sunday night session, and things kind of died out as Sunday went along. Maybe it was the Masters, the tinkling of the ivories of the Masters song put global markets to sleep because they really haven't done anything. We started the week with both West Texas Intermediate and Brent down a dollar, and so now we'll see. The rest of the commodity complex also pretty quiet here to start the day, start the week. We'll see what happens because certainly there's going to be more headlines. Certainly there's going to be more escalations until a goal is finally met.
Well, on top of that, I know Monday's tax day in the U.S. We have a lot of different companies with earnings reports out all week long. And something else too, Darren, gold Friday. What on earth happened to gold? We were up $60 at one point and then just fell apart. So that was an interesting move that I think bears watching here as we start this week.
Absolutely. Gold posted almost, the June gold contract posted almost a $100 range. That was just phenomenal to watch play out. And it we could call it a vacuum where it just got so high, new all-time highs, that it ran out of buyers. And we see this sometimes. We've seen it in some of the soft markets. We've seen it in other markets where, eventually you just run out of buying. But again, if we go back to the geopolitics of the thing, the biggest buyers right now are China and Russia, and you can throw India in there as well. And there's a reason why you know, this is also known as BRICS. Right now, we won't bring Brazil into it, but you got Russia, India, China, South Africa, and so on that makes up this alliance. There's a reason why they're buying it. And again, they're looking, it's a safe haven market, and they're looking for instability, political and economic instability around the world. And so the way you hedge against that is to continue to buy gold regardless of price. Because if things get thrown into a complete state of chaos, the thing that's going to come, you know, gold's going to stay valuable. We saw what happened to some cryptocurrencies over the weekend. Bitcoin and Ethereum, I believe, both got tanked pretty hard on the news of the attack from Iran against Israel. So we'll see. Again, everything's smoothed out a bit today, but certainly I have to keep an eye on who's buying gold.
Any notes in the grain sector as we look at corn, beans, wheat, CFTC commitment to traders report looked like maybe some increase on the corn net short, possibly, Darren?
Yeah, what really stood out to me looking at both corn and soybeans is that the increase in net short came from positions being liquidated. They were getting out of longs and shorts. It's just they got out of more longs. And to me, that's telling. In other words, there's just really no reason for them to be bullish. And at least this week, what it led to was an increase in the net short futures position. Now, what it leaves us with is that funds are still holding a very large short futures position. At some point, they will start to cover. They should start to cover some of that. So it was an interesting change. We saw a small increase in soybeans and a larger increase in corn. But the bottom line is they still hold net short positions. And they're very comfortable with that. There's no fundamental reason for them to get out.
I wonder, too, here as we get into spring planting, if there could potentially be some base farmers to watch. That's something I'm going to keep an eye on, I think, here, Darren.
Yeah, we've seen it in corn basis. Just corn basis continues to firm. It's still neutral as far as where it is, you know, versus average for this time of year. But it is firming. We're seeing merchandisers push cash as the futures go all over the place. But they're pushing the cash to try to continue to source immediate term supplies because, you know, farmers are going to get busy. They're going to get out in the field. They're not going to be hauling as much grain to town. And these merchandisers know they still have demand. There's still some export demand going on. We've got increased ethanol demand this time of year. Feed demand still busy. So they're trying to source these supplies that they're going to need very short term. Longer term, really, there's no huge supply and demand tightening at this point.
Yeah, definitely some things to keep a close eye on, no doubt. Darren, livestock trade, any quick notes for us there this week?
Yeah, what's interesting is looking at the open, we've got some strong commercial buying coming in. It was a wild week last week. And as the opening bell rang today, we saw the buyers come back in. It was on the commercial side because they're pushing the June live cattle versus the August and deferreds. They're pushing the nearby feeder cattle contracts as well. Not much happening in hogs. But it's interesting to see after the type of beating the market has had here the last couple of weeks, some of it tied to U.S. stock indexes and so on, the commercial buyers are back.
Always great to have a conversation. Folks can learn more at DarrenNewsom.com as well. With that, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us here on AOA this week.
Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
Darren Newsom there with Bar Chart joining us here today on Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Extreme cold temperatures put your vehicles to the test. Cenex premium lubricants are made with quality ingredients to keep you going. Learn more online at Cenex.com. Could we see some cooler temps and maybe some frost potential later on this week? How about severe weather potential? We're going to talk about all of that and more coming up with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. He joins us next on AOA. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're caring for one of the 16 million Americans living with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, you probably have many questions. COPD makes it harder to breathe and worsens over time. As a caregiver, you may juggle many roles. Being connected to the right resources can help. That's why the Learn More, Breathe Better program and Respiratory Health Association created the COPD Caregivers Toolkit. This free toolkit will help you better understand the disease, prepare for doctor's appointments, navigate home life changes, help after a COPD flare-up, and stay mentally and physically healthy through it all. Help your loved one live better with COPD. Visit nhlbi.nih.gov/COPD-caregivers.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. And hey, here just this morning, Cenex has announced their hometown throwdown top three festival finalists in the running to win a $100,000 grand prize. It is the Hayward Muskie Festival in Hayward, Wisconsin, the Norborn Soybean Festival in Norborn, Missouri, and the Rousseau Fall Harvest Festival in Rousseau, Minnesota are the top three in the Hometown Throwdown Festival finalists. You can vote for your favorite. Just go to CenexHometownThrowdown.com for more information. CenexHometownThrowdown.com. And of course, find your trusted and nearest Cenex location with your local experts online by going to Cenex.com. Well, let's take a look at what is on tap for the weather here this week ahead. Sounds like it's going to be another active week. Joining us here on AOA, returning from his eclipse travels, DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us. John, good to have you back. And we were chatting a little bit off air. Sounds like you had a great view of totality last week.
Oh, it was amazing, Jesse. Yeah, I hope, you know, if you were in the path or made your way out to it, you saw what I did, because that was, you know, almost a once in a lifetime experience for me. And if I get a chance to go, I will go again. It was absolutely incredible. There's no words that I can say that adequately describe what I experienced.
Well, glad you had a awesome experience. And 2045, the next chance for an eclipse here in the United States. Well, John, as I look at things here this week, I'm hearing a lot of chatter on social media that a lot of weather spotters and more are maybe gathering in parts of the Western Plains, Western Corn Belt here on Monday into Tuesday. As it sounded like we got potential for some severe weather kind of working all the way across the country here over the next couple of days. Give us a rundown of what things are looking like here as we start off the week.
Well, yeah, Jesse, last week it was eclipse chasers. This time it's storm chasers. We got all sorts of stuff going on here this week. And it's really two kind of upper level systems moving through that are going to be causing the bulk of the issues. The main one here is over the next 3 days. So today we've got a system that's kind of in the Four Corners area that's going to be moving out into the plains. And we've got plenty of moisture out ahead of it, lots of heat from an upper level ridge. And so we've got all kinds of fuel for this thing to tap into for today. Looks like from kind of the South Dakota, Nebraska border all the way down into Texas is kind of the main area. And we're looking at just about everything. I think large hail is the biggest threat out of it, though we're probably going to see some tornadoes and wind damage out of it as well. Luckily, you know, there's not a whole lot of a crop coming out of the ground yet, unless you've got some winter crops out there that could see some damage from it. But if you're going to be outside today getting some work done, you're going to have to keep your eyes on the skies there. It's going to be kind of rough. Tomorrow that moves kind of more into the Mississippi Valley. If we go from kind of the Minnesota-Iowa border down into Arkansas, that's kind of where we're looking at for tomorrow. Same kind of hazards, maybe not as significant as they will be out in the plains the day prior, but I'm still expecting a lot of thunderstorms to be moving through. And then that translates into kind of the Ohio Valley for Wednesday. And again, the severe threat's probably not as great as it is will be further west, but we're going to see some additional thunderstorms moving through that area as well. So three straight days here of severe weather on tap. And it hits, you know, pretty much the entire Corn Belt moving through the next couple of days here. So we're going to have to keep our eyes on that for sure.
Well, with that severe weather, how much rain potential could we possibly see with all this activity here this week, John?
Yeah, and it's coming from thunderstorms, right? So it's going to be kind of clustered up. And, you know, but we're going to see, you know, widespread 1 to 2 inches of rain for most of the upper Midwest. So like the Dakotas to eastern Nebraska through northern Illinois and Wisconsin, all those areas up there, looks like 1 to 2 inches of rainfall out of it. As it goes kind of, you know, farther south and east on this first wave of it, it's not going to be as impressive. So it's mostly amounts up to an inch. So, I mean, those are the areas that have gotten wet too, kind of the eastern Midwest down through the south. So that's not going to be all that impactful on this first part of it. But you know, when you get that 1 to 2 inches of rain there up in the upper Midwest, there's still a lot of drought. Soils are still pretty dry. They're going to soak that up real nicely, I think. So, and luckily it comes in, you know, just a kind of a short burst. So we only get, you know, a day or two of rainfall and then it's over. And then we can get those soils to dry back out again and get back out into the fields. What's going to be a little bit interesting further south though, is we don't get just this one burst of rain coming through, and I mentioned the showers aren't all that impressive, but the front that's going to come through later this week is going to light up, and then we are going to see some heavier rainfall out of it kind of along the Ohio River through kind of the Kansas-Oklahoma border and point southward then for the weekend, and that could be heavier rain, and models are putting out kind of 1 to 3 inches of rain out of that. So portions of Texas and Oklahoma eastward through Virginia and kind of in that band there are expected to see, you know, 1 to 3 inches of rain. And, you know, a lot of these areas are all soaked and waterlogged and could use a break. They did see some over the weekend, but it's going to be a little bit tougher to get out into some of those fields down there.
We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, I want to turn our attention closer to the end of the week. I've heard some rumblings that we could see some frost potential after all of this severe weather. Is that the case, John?
Sure is, unfortunately. I mean, it's, you know, it's the time of year where we still have to deal with that. It's not uncommon to have some colder air come down. And this kind of second piece of the storm system, not the first one that's causing the severe weather, the second one that's kind of the causing the heavier rain down south, is going to be pulling down some pretty decently chilly air down through from Western Canada down through the Rockies and into the plains. So yeah, we're looking at frost potential all the way to the northern Texas panhandle later this week and weekend. I don't think it really gets into the Ohio Valley, but probably up through the Great Lakes as well. We're going to see some frosty mornings here through the weekend. And then, you know, as that front pushes through, it'll be chillier early next week across like Texas, and the deep south, the Gulf Coast will see some below normal temperatures too, but I don't think they see the frost potential. So really where we're concerned the most then, we're lining up with where we've got stuff planted or growing some winter crops, and where that frost is going to occur is kind of the southwestern plains and the wheat areas out there. So that's kind of my biggest concern. We could see some temperatures in the teens on a morning or two out there. So that would definitely be significant if we can get that all to occur. That's definitely an area of concern. And that's also, you know, one of these areas that's had not been very wet during this active period we've seen this spring. It's been kind of just passing right over the top of them and developing further north or further east. So a lot of these areas here in western Kansas and in eastern Colorado need the rain. They're going to get some showers out of this, not much. They're getting winds today with the system. If they do get rain, it'll probably be some severe weather, and then they get some potential for frost later this week and weekend. So not a good spot to be in currently, unfortunately, for them.
John, how about South America, Brazil, Argentina? Any quick updates for us? The weather we're seeing down there looked like we've seen some pretty decent rains, but maybe that wet season activity in Brazil's getting ready to shut off potentially.
It looks like this might be the end of it here, Jesse. We've got a system that had developed over Argentina over the weekend. It's pulling south while the cold front to the system pushes north. And it's really going to be clearing things out here this week. As this front gets into central Brazil, all these showers go very isolated. And any of the consistent wet season showers moves north up into the Amazon or in the far northern Brazil and really dries out central Brazil. So it looks like this is probably going to be the end of their wet season showers. These consistent daily rains are basically going to be gone here by the end of the week. That means that these areas are going to need systems coming from Argentina to get up there and produce some decent rainfall. And, you know, those are a lot more infrequent. They haven't built up any good subsoil moisture either. I mean, you mentioned they had some pretty good rain there, and that's true, but it's just not come at a clip this year that has been building subsoil moisture. And they really depend on that as these wet season showers wind down. So they're going to run out of it quicker than normal here this year. And that could really impact their corn production. We'll have to see how much and to what degree and how many of these systems come up from Argentina that kind of give them just a little bit enough to hang on there. But definitely a concern for that Safrinha corn crop.
Well, I know folks can stay up to date with the latest weather forecasts at dtnpf.com. And with that, DTN meteorologist John Baranek, always good to talk with you, John. Thanks for giving us a rundown of the weather outlook for the week ahead. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Sounds good, Jesse. Thanks for having me on.
John Baranek there with DTN joining us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Learn more at Cenex.com. Up next, we'll talk with the president of the National Corn Growers Association, Harold Woolley, here on AOA.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with this check in agricultural markets for the American Ag Network. Looking at corn, weather will feature some rainstorms firing up from the Rockies into the plains this week, and that'll likely stall planting efforts somewhat. Expectations are we could still see the corn planting estimate reach 6 to 7% complete on a national basis. In South America, some heavy rains moved through Argentina and into southern Brazil, but conditions are expected to turn drier in the next few days. In central Brazil, only isolated showers are expected beyond Thursday. Last week's April WASDE report did not change the mind of large speculators. For soybeans, pressure is still coming from mostly favorable South American weather, where some heavy rainstorms rolled through Brazil and Argentina over the weekend, but traders fear the wet season may soon be coming to an end in Brazil. In the meantime, unlike corn, U.S. soy demand leaves much to be desired, with export sales down 18% from a year ago. Later Monday, the National Oilseeds Processors Association, or NOPA, will be out with their March crush report. Expectations by some are that we could see a record crush for March of 197 million bushels to 199 million bushels. However, it's expected we could still see more downtime with spring maintenance at plants. Wheat weather has been supportive with warmth, a lack of rain, and high winds exacting a toll on soil moisture in the western and southern plains hard winter wheat areas. There is a storm system that's expected to move from the Rockies through the plains later Monday into Tuesday. That could bring some relief. For cattle, traders don't like the uncertainty surrounding avian influenza that's been found in dairy cattle and whether that could impact beef cattle and potentially impact demand. This flu is not considered a concern for food safety, but consumer protection will rule the market. I'm Jody Heemstra with Markets for the American Ag Network.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
All right, welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, our next guest joining us now here on AOA, I was going to start off our conversation asking if any early field work has been done, but it sounds like he is joining us from the cab of his tractor, the president of the National Corn Growers Association, Harold Woolley. Harold, how are you today? Thanks for joining us.
Real good, Jesse. It's a beautiful day here in southern Minnesota, and we're going to plant some beans today.
I was going to ask, I was wondering if you were putting beans or corn in the ground or doing some early field work. Get me up to speed. How have things been on your operation and your neighbors there the last couple of days? Seemed like we had pretty good weather to get some stuff done.
It's been excellent weather, Jesse. Interesting winter with very little snow but some rain. So we've got pretty good soil moisture. Some sunshine and wind lately, so the top is in real good condition. We're going to plant some crops here because of the good soil conditions. We know it's early, but, we need to use all the techniques in our toolbox to try to get us a good yield, and planting soybeans early has been one of those practices that gets a good yield recently. So we're going to give her a try again this year.
All right. Well, thinking about those tools in the toolbox, that's where I want to start our conversation. I know earlier in the month of April, you penned a letter along with folks at NCGA to the U.S. International Trade Commission warning the ITC about some of the consequences they could have about placing duties on imports of key herbicides. Can you talk to us a little bit about that situation and where things stand right now, Harold?
You bet, Jesse. I not only provided testimony, but I went to Washington, D.C. and gave that testimony in person before the International Trade Commission. Corteva has petitioned the International Trade Commission to apply anti-dumping and countervailing duties on imported 2,4-D from India and China. So an anti-dumping duty is applied when a product is being sold below the cost of production. A countervailing duty is applied when a country's government is providing an unfair subsidy to the production of that commodity. So Corteva believes that in both of those countries, India and China, are doing both of those practices. From NCGA's perspective, we don't see it that way. We believe in free trade, and we want 2,4-D acid to continue to be able to be imported duty-free into the United States so that the manufacturers here can use that imported acid to produce the 2,4-D amine and the 2,4-D ester that we use in our operations.
Well, and again, I apologize. I read that you were there for the testimony. I said penned a letter, but you were in fact in D.C. for that testimony, as you mentioned. So, and thinking about this too, Harold, the price of corn, commodity prices have gone down. Our cost of inputs have stayed elevated. So I have to think that if we take more tools out of the toolbox, that is just going to cause more of a cost price squeeze for our nation's farmers, isn't it?
Well, it is. And specifically in this instance, if the government does decide to go ahead and levy these duties, that's going to raise the price of that 2,4-D acid. And you can bet that the price that we as farmers pay for our 2,4-D is going to go up too if that happens.
While you were in D.C., Harold, any news, any backdoor rumblings you heard about this GREET model? That's another area that I know we're patiently waiting on, the GREET model for sustainable aviation fuel. We thought we'd see it on March 1st while you and I were at Commodity Classic. We didn't get it. Now we're into the middle of April. Where do things stand? Anything new on that front that you've heard about possibly getting this GREET model soon?
No, Secretary Vilsack was in Minnesota a few days ago, and I was in a meeting with him, and he did not give us any indications of when that GREET modeling was going to be forthcoming. I know there's rumors floating around that it's going to be today. There's rumors floating around it's going to be the end of May. So we just have to be patient and wait to see. We need to give USDA and Treasury time to get this right. We want a model that works, that recognizes the value of the low carbon corn that we're producing on our farms.
No, and it's get the modeling right, and hopefully it will be a win for our nation's corn growers, because we think about the opportunity that's out there for sustainable aviation fuel. It's such an immense opportunity for American agriculture and our nation's corn growers, isn't it?
Biofuels are going to be a part of sustainable aviation fuel. It's just a question of, getting the modeling correct, getting the practices in place, getting everybody to realize that we are capable of producing low carbon crops. Soybeans are going to be in the mix as well as corn when it comes to producing sustainable aviation fuel.
Another thing kind of on the lines of biofuels, I wanted to ask you about this new tailpipe emissions rule from the EPA that came out last month. I know a lot of folks are concerned about what that rule could mean for everything moving forward when it comes to, new vehicles, what it could do for things like corn demand, et cetera. Your thoughts on that new EPA tailpipe emissions rule and what that could do potentially?
We certainly were disappointed, and our economist, Krista Swanson, did some analysis, and it's going to be a substantial hit to corn, up to 1 billion bushels of reduced demand as we get into the later years when it requires more and more EVs to meet those requirements. I don't like where we are, but we are in this society. Lawsuits have a tremendous impact on policy, and I will be surprised if there are not some lawsuits instituted over this tailpipe emissions rule. So I don't think we're at the end of the story there just yet.
All right, Harold, a couple other things to touch on here, and I'll segue over to the farm bill. There's a lot of rising tension, one could say, on Capitol Hill as we're trying to get this farm bill done, both House and Senate side. I know on the House side, Ag Chair G.T. Thompson is wanting to try and get farm bill text out by Memorial Day. There's been a lot of this concern about, with this being an election year, can we get a new five-year farm bill done ahead of the presidential election? Will we need another one-year extension? This is something that I think it's another case too here, Harold, where we want to get it done right, but also, you know, how far can we kick the can down the road, so to speak? Any thoughts on where things stand with the farm bill or anything new you've heard on that front?
Well, you know, NCJ is advocating for a full five-year reauthorization of that farm bill, and the sooner the better. And folks in Congress are going to have to compromise, Jesse. You know, they've certainly been making their points where they stand, and they're each going to have to give a little if we're going to get this done. And they all say they want to get it done, and I believe them. So I'm anxious to see what kind of compromises are going to be brought forth here in May so that we can get this thing done. I think it's very wise to get it done ahead of the election. An extension doesn't serve us well. So it's time to get it done. It's time to do some compromising, and I hope that's the way they go.
Yeah, I know a lot of talk between the SNAP funding, the nutrition side by Democrats versus things like reference prices and crop insurance by Republicans. So I would agree with you, Harold. We got to get some compromise done on this here on Capitol Hill. Before we run out of time and let you go, I know you're busy there in the field. Anything final you're watching from the NCGA side or anything that we need to keep in mind here as we're moving through the month of April, Harold?
Well, there's a lot of things that are on the plate right now. You know, Endangered Species Act, how that all comes together, trade. You know, we've got the case, the biotech case in front of the USTR is working on that to get that dispute panel to resolve that issue. So a lot of important work going on, and we've talked about some of the very important things as well. Year-round E15, we need to make that happen. Would love to get a waiver from EPA announced soon, too, so that the fuel distributors can get their fuel in place for the summer driving season.
I couldn't agree more on that point as well. We'll see if we can get a waiver soon. Learn more at ncga.com. And with that, the president of the National Corn Growers Association, Harold Woolley. Harold, it's always great to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us. Have a safe planting season, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
Harold Woolley, president of the National Corn Growers Association, joining us here today on AOA, busy in the field on his operation there in southern Minnesota. All right, coming up next here on the program, we're going to wrap things up, take a look at some news headlines here on today's show. We're watching things like South America, for instance, with corn pest issues in Argentina. Also talk of Brazil continuing to expand its farmland. We're going to have those stories and more coming up next year on AOA. Today's program brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit cenex.com for more information. We'll be back on AOA right after this.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill, and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other. Leading by example. Experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org, a campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education, teach.org, and 1 million teachers of color.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines, but most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets, anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drugdisposal.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
And we're back, looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you today by Cenex and Cenex Premium Diesels and Premium Lubricants. Not all grease is created equal. Cenex Premium Greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit Cenex.com for more information. Well, let's take a look at news headlines here on the show before we run out of time today. Brazil's a major soybean, corn, and cotton grower, but could expand its crop area by more than a third. Successful Farming says Brazil could do that by converting overgrazed or overgrown pasture land, says a research agency in Brazil's Ministry of Agriculture. A team of university economists say besides the potential addition of 70 million acres of cropland, Brazil could also increase production by devoting more land to second crop corn. Now, the U.S. analyst said while writing in FarmDoc for the University of Illinois, quote, the potential for Brazil to expand its agricultural output through converting degraded pasture land into cropland is huge. With approximately 70 million acres identified as suitable for conversion, Brazil could increase its total planted area by 35% compared to this year, end quote. Now, there are currently 45 million acres of degraded pasture land in four states that are leading corn and soybean producers in Brazil. Experts say Brazil has a lot of unfarmed land with potential. Now, staying in South America, South American corn production numbers will be lower than expected, especially in Argentina, it sounds like. Dr. Michael Cordonier with Soybean and Corn Advisors, Inc. says Argentina's corn crop is suffering from unexpected pest pressure.
The USDA left their soybean estimate unchanged at 50, but it did lower their corn 1 million to 55. The big news in Argentina is damage caused by corn stunt disease. Now, this is a disease transmitted by a little moth called corn leafhopper, and it causes a lot of damage to corn, especially late developing corn. Now, the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange, they lowered their corn estimate 2.5 million tons to 49.5, and these estimates are 6 to 7 million tons below initial estimates.
The process Argentina farmers use to plant their corn is conducive for the plant pests to spread.
The thing in Argentina is they plant the corn in two phases. The first phase is September, October, when they plant about 40% of the corn. And the second phase is December and January, where we plant about 60%. And these corn leafhoppers, they move from more developed corn to later developing corn. The later the corn, the more chances of being infected by this corn stunt disease, which is a bacterial disease. Once the plant has it, there's no recuperation.
Corn leafhoppers are new to Argentina's farmers. Argentina's corn production will take a big drop because of the pests.
Oh, that's a big drop. 6 to 7 million tons, that would be like 10 to 15%, depending on where you started. So yes, that's a big drop. And it came sort of all of a sudden. 2 months ago, no one was worried about this. So it came out of the clear blue sky, so to speak. And normally the market would respond to something like this, but the market has so many other sort of negative connotations, China and demand and exports, all that sort of thing. So the market hasn't responded, but no, to answer your question, that's a big drop.
Again, that's Dr. Michael Cordonier of Soybean and Corn Advisor, Inc. For more information, go to soybeansandcorn.com. Well, USDA Research Center planned in Nebraska aims to boost crop yields in the face of water shortages in the West and drought in the Midwest. Nebraska Representative Mike Flood has asked House Ag Appropriators for continued funding of a planned USDA National Research Center at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Now, when built, he says the center will anchor a network of ARS and land-grant universities aimed at filling one of the most critical science gaps in agriculture.
This Precision Agriculture Center will allow us to learn and research how to raise more corn, more grains, more soybeans with less water. And that pays a dividend to every single American and our food security.
Congress has already approved over $11 million for design work and $45 million for the first phase of construction to start in the next month. A second phase, including labs, hinges on the full funding Flood seeks. He argues the investment is well worth it.
We believe in precision and regenerative agriculture. We want to learn how to raise even more corn with less water and teach the rest of the world how to do the same.
Relying on a network of researchers to get it done.
This is the kind of synergy between government, universities, industries, small businesses that will benefit USDA, Nebraska, and a nation's ag economy and producers across the nation.
And dealing with periodic drought in the Midwest to long-term water shortages in the West. Well, also, the American Farm Bureau Federation, in partnership with Farm Credit, is doubling the top prize at this year's Ag Innovation Challenge. Chase Heideman, Director of Industry Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation, talks about the change.
The winner of the 2025 Ag Innovation Challenge will take home $100,000 in funding for their business. And really, the decision to double the prize comes from the realization that everyday entrepreneurs are working to address the challenges facing the agriculture sector. Farm Bureau wants to ensure they have the resources to continue that great work. And so by doubling the prize money, AFBF hopes to double the impact.
He says the challenge is open to anyone with an innovative idea for rural America.
Well, the competition's open to any startup with an innovative business plan or product or service that helps meet the challenges facing America's farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. We're really looking for entrepreneurs from all backgrounds and from all regions of the country who can produce those solutions for our agricultural communities.
And interested entrepreneurs can apply now through June 15th.
Well, they can visit our website. There they can learn more information about the program as a whole, as well as find our application.
And again, go online to fb.org/challenge for more information. Also, continue to watch the summertime E15 waiver situation. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, South Dakota Senator John Thune, and Illinois Senator Dick Durbin are calling on the administration to permit nationwide E15 sales this summer. They sent a letter underscoring the geopolitical importance of uninterrupted biofuel access and noted that the president directed the EPA to issue summertime waivers in 2022 and 2023. They also said, as previous temporary waivers have proven, permitting the sale of higher blends of biofuels like E15 through the 2024 summer driving season bolsters domestic fuel supply, lowers consumer costs at the pump, and promotes the environmental benefits of American biofuels and modern agriculture. That is one of many topics I know we're going to talk with Senator Grassley about tomorrow on AOA. He will be joined in the show. We're also going to have a conversation with Dr. Jim Fredericks from the National Pest Management Association. All that and more coming up tomorrow on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesels meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Learn more at Cenex.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for joining us on AOA.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.